Welcome to the Goddesses of Social Work podcast, hosted by Renita Ray Davis, licensed clinical social worker, board-approved social work clinical supervisor, and facilitator of the Goddesses of Social Work supervision community. Join us as we travel through the social work journeys told by the Goddesses of Social Work community members, past and present, as they make their way toward clinical licensure.
On today's special episode of the Goddesses of Social Work podcast, celebrating the 2024 Social Work Month NASW theme, Empowering Social Workers, Inspiring Action, Leading Change, Jessica Parker, LMSW, has joined the show. Jessica Parker, LMSW, from Montgomery, Alabama, received her bachelor's degree in human development and family studies and a master's of social work degree from the University of Alabama. She began her social work career in Detroit, Michigan, working for nonprofit and state governmental agencies. While in Michigan, Jessica became a certified special education teacher. Jessica returned to Montgomery in 2011 and worked briefly at Department of Human Resources. Jessica briefly returned to teaching, but is now a district social worker within the Montgomery Public School System. During her career, Jessica has worked with at-risk populations and served as an advocate for those often overlooked by society. Jessica is the mother of three adult daughters and the proud grandparent of one grandson, with another grandchild expected in October. Jessica, congratulations and welcome to the show. Super excited to have you on today.
Thank you. I am super excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yay. Jessica, the motivation behind this year's social work theme proposed by the NASW, Empowering Social Workers, Inspiring Action, Leading Change, states that social workers need support to meet the high demand for their vital work and should get higher pay. Jessica, what has been your experience with the salary gap within the social work profession? Have you had any experience having to negotiate your salary? And if so, and or not, what advice would you give other social workers who may be struggling with salary negotiation?
Well, I have not had to negotiate a salary, and I think that is mainly due to my naivete at the time. I remember my very first social work job. It was at a boys' home in Detroit, the residential boys' home. And so I interviewed, and she knew I was fresh out of school, and she offered me $25,000. So we're talking, that was 1997. So even in 1997, $25,000 was not a lot of money. So, you know, especially you're talking about a master's degree and things like that. So, and I remember thinking, wait a minute, I need to negotiate, but, you know, plumb out of school, young, in a new place, I just did not even attempt to try to negotiate. But the way that social workers are coming into the field now, they have so much experience in doing so many things prior to getting the MSW and being licensed, that I would say use that as your bargaining tool, because these agencies, they really need you in what you bring, your expertise, that different way you have of looking at things. And, you know, even though you may be brand spanking new, don't settle. That's my advice. Don't settle. Even if it's $500 extra, negotiate for what you feel would be right and fair for you. Because believe you me, with the demand, if they don't want to give it to you, somebody else will.
Absolutely. I love it. Say it from your chest. Yes. So that was in 1997, Jessica. It is 2024 mm-hmm. now, right? So that's yes. About almost 30 years. Long career. I love it. You know, I love me a seasoned social worker. And yet you said you have not had to negotiate salary because of naivety. Are you telling me you've been naive for the last 30 years?
I have not. You know, I started at that job. And, you know, sometimes you look and with particular agencies, especially when you're working like school systems and the state, they have pay scales. However, you can still negotiate that. You know, I have this experience. And so instead of bringing me in on step, I'm just throwing out there step five, I think I can be brought in at step six or seven. And that you know, because of the need, that has actually worked. Because there was a particular state job I had doing social work, and they brought me out at the top of the scale because they, you know, they knew the experience I had and what I was bringing to the table, and so they valued that, and so they started me a couple of steps above what any other social worker would have been hired in at.
I love it. I love it. And you deserve that. Absolutely. I want to go back all the way to 1997. And, you know, we're talking to new social workers coming into the field. And your first thought when she offered you $25,000, and I agreed that still wasn't a lot of money to live off of back then either. But when she brought you in at 25 and your first thought was, man, I should negotiate. What do you think held you back? Because I'm sure even 20, 30 years later, that same energy is what holds other people back. What do you think it was that held you back from going ahead and saying, let me go ahead and negotiate?
To be quite honest, I think it was just fear of not knowing I could. You know, fear can really dictate our responses and a lot of things, and where we, you know, take a back seat. So even, you know, with my own children, I try to raise them to live fearlessly, you know, smartly, but not, well, fearlessly, because it can really hold you back. So when I think about that time sitting in that office and she's saying, okay, I like it, I like you, here's the salary, and thinking, but just, you know, the fear of being able to advocate for myself, you know, I can do it a million times for somebody else, but you know, for yourself, it's like, and maybe fear too of, I was in a new place. I didn't have any family, well, besides a husband at the time, and just wanted to get in a place where I had a job and we had some income, and you know, just the fear of the unknown.
It sounds like you were, because it was one of the first offers, you didn't realize back then in your first social work job the value of what you brought to the table. So you took the first thing, including the first offer that they had.
Yeah. Because I'd been on other interviews, and I remember another one, and it was at like a therapeutic center. And you know, she was interviewing, and she's like, well, you know, how are you about diagnosing? And then I was, at the time, you know, being from Alabama, I was like, well, you know, we don't diagnose in Alabama. And she looked at me like, what? She was totally appalled. So maybe, and I was on that interview prior to the other one, so maybe I was just afraid, you know, again, the fear that I didn't have the skills needed to be effective at what I was doing. So.
So know what your value is. Yeah. And now, you know, it's been 30 years almost, but Alabama social workers are now at the LICSW level. We are now able to diagnose within our scope of practice. So a lot has changed in that time. Yeah.
Yes, it has. Yeah. And all for the better. All for the better.
Exactly. I think it's the best time in the world to be a social worker in Alabama.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Jessica, the NESW has shared in its press release and proclamation for Social Work Month that social work is one of the fastest growing professions in the United States, and that we are on the front line for some of the toughest crises this nation has faced. Can you give me an example or examples of your frontline experience? And what advice would you give to social workers who are going to be entering the field over the next few years?
And I have to say that a lot of my frontline experience has been now being a school social worker, that we are the first called into battle, so to speak, because there's an expectation that, and this is social workers everywhere, that you have to know a little bit of everything. You have to know federal law, school policy, state law, NASW code of ethics. So just waving the flag of that, okay, here I am, here's what I know, and this is what's ethically sound to do. And particularly from the social work standpoint, and I mean, really, and that rolls over to things that are ethically suitable for anyone in any position, really. And I find for myself, I have a lot of passions. So when it relates to social work, things of interest that I like to know a lot about. And so for anyone entering the field, I would say take some of those side passions that you may not be your main focus and develop those and get to know those and really be in relationship with those so that when you're called upon, you're ready, because you never know how that's going to play out in your workplace. Because usually social workers have things of interest that are kind of unique. I'll put it unique. And so that uniqueness, you know, molds our thinking and empowers us to like be able to go across several settings. And so we're just, you know, social workers are very fluid. So for anyone new and coming into the field, I would say never give up your side hustle, your side passions, because it really will come into play with, you know, regardless of the popular, I feel, regardless of the population that you work with. And don't be afraid to advocate for yourself. If even in whoever your client is, or don't be afraid to be the lone voice that says no, or that's not right, or, you know, I don't think that that's effective, that that's an effective way to do something. Because people need that challenge. It seems like people need that challenge. And, you know, we provide that. Now, oftentimes I have to be the one that says, you know, you're in these meetings. Let's say you're in these meetings and folks want to kind of get through the meeting and move on to the next thing. And so you kind of like let things slide. You know, we'll let things slide or go along with the group because you're ready to get on to the next task. And some that's not just the effective, the most ethical, practical, fair thing to do. Because I also have, I'll say to social workers come to field, know who you are too. It took me a long time to realize I have a strong sense of fairness. So a lot of things that I do, it has to feel fair to me. And so sometimes that means I'm the holdout, the one that everybody's trying to convince, like, this is what we need to do. And like, I know me, and if it's not fair to me, then it's like, no, like, you know, I understand you're trying to convince me, but it's still not going to fly with me. So really knowing, I'd say people knowing, coming into the field, really know who you are and don't be afraid to stand by your values. Because we all have a purpose and it's different. Everyone's is different. And being true to fulfilling that purpose with who you are, with your God-given gifts and abilities. Don't shy away from those. So just, and I know it can be scary, but just stick to your guns.
You're going to be a great mentor if you're not already. I love it, Jessica. I heard two things. And so I'm kind of repeating a little bit what you said, but I'm going to give a specific example. So for instance, we have a lot of social workers who are into music or into the creative arts. And because they came into social work and got this textbook way of doing things, they no longer are bringing the creativity into their practice. And so I've been talking to social workers who enjoy, you know, do music and play musical instruments, or even were in theater. And I'm asking them, how are you bringing that into your practice? And so not giving up, like you said, something that you're passionate about and who you are, not giving that away, or stop doing it just because you're a social worker. In fact, bring your whole self into the space with your clients is the first thing I heard. And then the second thing I heard you say was, social work is not a popularity contest. You know, we have such big, beautiful hearts, and we want we come out here, we want to save the world or whatever. And so we think that to do that, we got to be nice and kind. And we are, and most of us are nice and kind and gentle people. But we have to be firm, especially if we're going to create change. Change isn't always rainbows and sunshine. And so I heard you say was, sometimes people don't like you because you're holding out. And you're like, not, that's not fair. We're not going to move from this issue until it feels fair and it's right for both the client and the organization or agency I'm working for. And that means that you may not be popular all the time. And those are two things I heard you say.
Absolutely. And it's interesting you bring that up about music and how some people shy away from that because now, you know, you have this textbook social work or you learn something at your practicum or whatever. And right now I'm at the National School Social Workers Conference, and I went to a session today about experimental therapies. And so why not take your passion, be it sewing or music or, you know, training puppies, I don't know, and using that with who you serve, because it's something you're good at, something that you can deliver effectively and help somebody with. So that's, you know, that's why I encourage you, stick, don't give up those side passions. If it's travel, like I've encountered so many children who have not been outside their city walls or even their neighborhood. So why not bless them with pictures of a trip to Italy or a trip to Atlanta or something? It doesn't even matter. And because you're enriching lives with whatever you do. And it's encouraging. I think that's encouraging when you share yourself, and it helps develop that relationship, because it's like, you know, this is who I am, and here I am, just like you're asking your client to be.
Absolutely. That is so beautiful. And just, I love that you said sharing having the pictures on your wall of your trip to Italy or Maryland or wherever it is, and letting them realize this is a big old world out there. And even though you're here because you have a personal problem, there's so much more out there for you to explore and to experience. Oh, Jessica, that was absolutely beautiful. I love that.
And then going back to the music thing, it's like I work with so many students that love music and they like to listen to music. And, you know, a lot of people love music. And if you have that gift, definitely use it to help impact somebody's life.
Absolutely. Music is the soundtrack of our lives. If you're not asking your client, what music are they listening to? What are you doing? What are you doing? I love that. Jessica, I'm so excited because you're going to be an LICSW in the next year or so, which is the highest license recognized by this profession. With that license, though, comes an energy of leadership within our profession. So I'm curious, how do you see yourself as an agent of change? And what changes would you like to see happen in social work?
After I become an LICSW, I really, being here at the conference, I really hear the need, if that's the right word, to keep advocating for social work, just social work, no matter where you work, period, to be given that respect and upfront. Because, I mean, we usually get the respect after we come in and put out some fires. But to get that up front, I really wouldn't mind working in an educational setting, like a school of social work, to help develop young social workers and pour into them and let them be the next generation, you know, guide them into being the next generation of world changers. So there you go. That's what I foresee. And then you brought up about, you know, potentially being a mentor, maybe, you know, mentoring some young social workers and I don't know, just helping them to develop to their fullest potential. Learning from my mistakes.
I love that, and I hope that's what we're doing today with this podcast episode, right?
I hope so.
Yes, I love it. I love that you said world changers. Come on, because social work is global. It's just not within your city or state. It absolutely is global. What would you like to see change within our profession?
I think what I would like to see change, the big thing is an equitable licensure test. There are so many folks out there that consider themselves social workers, and they do the work, but they can't pass that licensure test. And so I don't even know if there could even be a different path to licensure other than a test. I don't know. There's something that really that needs to happen with that test, because I can see there are passionate, qualified people who are held back because they can't pass this standardized test. So that is one thing I would like to see changed, or like, I definitely think you need that accountability, that standard, but maybe there can be some different paths to getting to it other than this straight cold test based off some stuff you learned, you know, for me 32 years ago. So yeah, I think that would be one of the biggest things. And going back to my thought too on social work education, I think there's many other things, like, you know, back when I was in school, we had a path. You did clinical, medical, child and family. Those were your three choices. But because social workers can do so many different things, I think we need to tap into that potential as far as social work education and letting people take whatever they feel they need to be able to practice when they're done with school, or develop new tracks, maybe a school social work track, and other things that social workers are into that, you know, you kind of get into a position and you learn and develop yourself, administrative, policy writing, things of that nature that you kind of get into once you're in the profession. But it wouldn't hurt to have some preparation at some somewhere so that you're even more equipped to handle those things.
I love that. And I love that you brought up the exam. I think you're the first person in this, in our special episodes, who's brought up the exam and wanting to see that change. And, you know, I love sharing resources. And one of my colleagues, Dr. Lauren Richardelli, she just wrote a special edition about the ASWB exam. I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to put it in your podcast episode description link so that others who might want to read it can read it as well, because they're talking about what there is a problem, and they're also providing some solutions as well. And so, yeah, I'm so glad that you brought up the ASWB exam, because there definitely needs to be some changes there. And maybe it does start with, at the university level, those who are providing the MSW and BSW coursework, and diversifying what the options are on our path to social work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jessica, thank you so much for coming on the Goddesses of Social Work podcast. It was such a pleasure to have you.
Oh, thank you. It was a pleasure to be here. I can't believe it. That's it.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Goddesses of Social Work podcast. We are glad you were here. If you like this episode, please come back to hear more stories of the journeys through social work, and please leave us a review on Apple or Spotify. See you next time here on the Goddesses of Social Work podcast.